Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. ESPN analyst, former coach Herm Edwards joining us here on The Fan. Herm, how you doing today?
I am well. It's kind of interesting. The National Football League, especially, you know, right about now, when guys are doing a little bit of working, there's always high expectations right now. And that's a good, you know, that's a good thing. You know, there's no pads, there's no score, and guys are excited, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing, and we're very excited here in Cleveland for a multitude of reasons. Obviously, we have a quarterback battle going on, and we have four different quarterbacks. Before we go into that battle and go, well, let's just start off going one by one, essentially. But Shedeur Sanders is where I want to start with you. It seems like he's had a very, very good mini camp and very good little last month here, hanging around the Browns and really just showing off off the field and on the field what he can do. What are your expectations for Shedeur this upcoming season?
Well, you know, I think at the end, especially when the preseason starts, he's going to find a way to beat those guys out. That's just my opinion. The eye test tells me at the end of the day. Now, I've known him since he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I just think his makeup, what he's all about, felt like he got slighted in the draft, and I will agree with him. He did. You know, not saying maybe he should have been the first player picked. I'm not saying that. But I think there's a lot that went into that, why he dropped so much. And I don't think it had anything to do with football. But the other things that go along with football, I think the glare of who he is, who his father is, I think a lot of teams were hesitant, worried that they didn't want that in their locker room. But when you meet the kid and you meet what he's about, he's a pro. He's a pro. He knows how to do things. He goes about it the right way. So I just think when the lights come on and they start playing in the preseason, look out. I think he's going to do good.
Herm, what do you think is his most translatable NFL trait?
I think, you know, he understands the game very well. I mean, this guy's been schooled since he was a little kid by his dad. He's been around it. He's seen it. He understands the mentality of it all. You know, he grew up in it. He's watched it. You know, his father, maybe you can say one of the best athletes ever played the game. And I think sometimes, you know, when people look at Deion Sanders and they don't know him, they don't understand Deion Sanders is one of the smartest football players ever played a position. So this guy is not just, you know, talented. I mean, he's a study. I mean, he gets it. You know, he knows how to prepare. All those things are in his favor.
Is he going to have enough reps in order to win out the job? You know, when you have three other quarterbacks and four quarterbacks total, it's not something we typically see. And, yeah, there's days, a lot of days, but is he going to have enough reps in order to be able to really showcase what he can do?
Well, that's going to be on the coach. That's where coaching comes in at the end, right? I mean, when you watch him practice every day, you know, it's like, okay, you know, eventually got to make a decision. So eventually they got to say, okay, this is how it's going to be. Because you're right, especially in professional football, you only have so many reps. It's not like college football where you can stay out there for 3 hours with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
You only got so many players, and you are correct. Who is going to get the reps? And I think the reps are going to be looked at this way. You know, when you get reps, what is your production? And here's another thing I want to know. This is even going to be more interesting. Who are they building the offense around?
I mean,
that has something to do with quarterback too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of run game, if I'm going to be honest, for this upcoming year.
I think
a lot of run game, probably a lot of defense and run game. Probably steal a lot of what the Steelers have done in recent years and maybe try to attack it for that way if you're trying to go just in a big picture. But for the offense, it's going to be a lot of run game.
Well, we say that, but they were 29th running the football. There's only 32 teams.
No, I know, but they drafted two running backs, though. You know, that's why you took Judkins in the second round.
The
you took Sampson.
Running backs don't block.
I know the running back. Yeah, I know. It's all fair points, but you have a healthier offensive line. Yeah, healthier offensive line. You would imagine. Offensive line was miserable last year, Herm. You know that. That was a miserable offensive line last year. That was tomato cans over there, Herm.
Yep, I understand. I had some of those guys in my time. I understand. No, I just think, you know, it's interesting that, and this, you know, it's just, and you said it when we started the conversation, they got five quarterbacks. Mm. Not three, they got five. They got five of them.
You count Deshaun then is what you're getting at here.
Yeah, I'm gonna count him, but he's out. He's still recovering, so it was okay. They got four. They got four quarterbacks. You know, I get it, but I'm like, who? And two of them are young ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are young ones, and so it's like, oh, okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see how they do this, how they actually, you know, divvy out the reps. How do they do that? I don't know how to do that. Look, it's not like Kenny Pickett is the guy, and then he does it like, okay, I'm ready to go. He ain't ready to go either.
Herm, when you were a coach, how did you do it? How did you divvy up the reps? How did you decide who got the most, especially in a situation where you have what is a quarterback competition?
Well, you got to make sure of this. There's only so many plays that you have allocated. And I always felt this way. If you have a young guy at the quarterback position, it's going to be critical that eventually he gets reps against the number one defense. Mm. That is critical. How does he play against the ones? Not against other college players, not against free agent football players, but against the number ones. And then some kind of way in the preseason, which you can do, you got to orchestrate it to where, and you know this, when you get in the preseason, when the other team is playing his ones on defense, you got to get those guys in the game. They got to go out there with number one offensive line, and they got to go against the ones on defense.
Herm Edwards joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let me ask you, what should the goal for this season be? If you're a Browns fan and you're listening and you're like, all right, I want Herm to tell me about my team and how they look. We've talked about the four quarterbacks, and that might be a part of it. What should the goal be for a Browns fan listening?
Well, look, they were 3-14 for numerous reasons. We get all that. They were 2-4 in their division. You know a lot about your team when you can win in a division. You know, can you go 500 in your division? Can you go over 500 in the division? That's headed in the right direction. 3-14, okay. You started, let's say, I don't know who's starting. Let's say you start a rookie quarterback. What does that look like? Can you get four more wins with a rookie quarterback? Maybe. Can you get five more wins with a rookie quarterback? Because at the end of the day, I think you got to start the rookie. I just do. I mean, you drafted two of them. What did you draft them for? sit the bench and look at each other? Carry a clipboard? I mean, you drafted two rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, hey, man, I'm going to put you on the shelf. What are you putting them on? Unless you're going to trade one of them. So, to me, it's like, okay, we drafted two of them. Then somebody got to play.
Right from
I mean,
the
I
outside?
Know, I don't know that much about it, but I just think that at the end, right?
Right from the outset?
I mean, you were 3-14 last year. You were 3-14. So so you got to make a decision. If you start a rookie quarterback, the fans are going to say, we're okay with that. We can live with that. Midway through the season, is he a better player? Is the team better because he's the quarterback? That's going to be the critical part. You drafted two rookie quarterbacks. Not one, you drafted two of them.
Do you think there needs to be a situation throughout the course of the year, Herm, where both of them get an opportunity to start meaningful games?
Oh, I think so. I think unless one of them starts to run away with it.
Okay.
And who can lead the team? Here's what I want to know. And the coaches do this. When you walk into the huddle, you want to see that rookie quarterback control that huddle. When they break the huddle, do the guys in the huddle trust him? Do they trust the quarterback, especially a young guy? Do they trust him? That's going to be the key. Can he lead the team? Can he lead a veteran group of guys? This is a 3-14 team. Can that guy, when they break the huddle, they look at the quarterback and say, this guy gives us the best chance to win? Because let me tell you something. Veterans, when you're a veteran guy, your clock's ticking. You know, this ain't like, oh, I'm going to play 10 more years. No, no, you might have another year or two. And you don't want to go through another 3-14 season. So whoever that quarterback is, you're going to know if those guys trust you and they want to play for him. You're going to figure that out real fast.
Do you think Kevin Stefanski will be the head coach? Let's say you start off, I don't know if you've seen the schedule or not. Early on, it's just a brutal schedule. First 6 weeks are incredibly hard. Do you think Stefanski, does he make it past week 9 if things do go sideways? Or does he? Do you feel like it just might not end up being the right time for him here in Cleveland?
Look, being a former coach and player, I don't want to even get into that. That's just that I don't go down that road. I'm wishing all these guys well. I know how hard it is, and especially when you start a rookie quarterback. And I think they're going to start a rookie quarterback.
Well, let me rephrase it then. Do you feel like he's been given a bad deck of cards to be able to even showcase what he can do as a head coach? You mentioned 3-14 last year, and yes, they have taken some rookie quarterbacks, but it's not as if many people believe this roster is stacked.
Well, it's not. Now they're defensively they've got some they got one guy over there that's really really good that wears the S on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
That Garrett guy, he's really good, by the way. And they got a few good players on defense. They really do. I just think it's a team that, first of all, when you look at the division, it's a pretty tough division. When you look at it, and I'm not making excuses, but are they better than the Ravens?
No,
they're not better than the Ravens. Are they better than the Cincinnati Bengals?
No.
Now, it's interesting. Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they got Aaron Rodgers. They should be better at the quarterback position. They should be better. But here's what I'm saying about it. In that division, with all those really good teams, we're talking two really good quarterbacks with the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. We can't argue that.
Right.
They were still competitive in their division. They were 2-4. Look, the best record in the division was the Ravens. They were 4-2. Cincinnati was 3-3. The Pittsburgh Steelers were 3-3. So with this 3-14 record, they were 2-4. They're a competitive group. Can they just find the quarterback, whoever it is? And I think it's going to be a rookie. I don't know that. I haven't been to practice. I haven't called anybody. I just think if you drafted two of them, you can't have both of them sitting on the bench.
Herm, fantastic insight as always. We'll check in with you as the season moves on, and hopefully you're right about these rookie quarterbacks, and hopefully they do look better, at least more competitive within the division as well. We appreciate the time. Thank you, Herm.
Thank you, man.
All right, good stuff right there. Of course, ESPN's Herm Edwards on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say. Also, one national analyst believes that the competition's over just like Herm does. We'll tell you who that is when we come on back. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. That's the problem.
Nobody wants Dylan Gabriel to get this job. Nobody thinks anything of Dylan Gabriel.
You're absolutely right. Yes, you've read the room correctly on that regard. Why would you think there was going to be a lot of like Oregon Duck supporters after 1 year of Dylan Gabriel to pop in and be like, oh, yeah, he's that much better than all the other good quarterbacks that Oregon has had throughout the years, and it doesn't really change anything.
I don't know. Maybe people would say there's a reason why the Browns took him two rounds ahead of Shedeur Sanders and give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe. Possibly.
Probably not going to happen.
Not with the Browns being selected him. Here's the thing. If the Los Angeles Rams drafted him in the third round ahead of Shedeur Sanders, do you think the view is the same?
I think we'd still look at it like, Sean McVay's bonkers if he thinks that's replacing Matthew Stafford.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You don't think you would give them more of the benefit of the doubt?
No, first off, no one would look at it like that's the heir apparent. You'd look at it and be like, "Whoa, okay, so I guess that's their plan. If Matthew Stafford gets injured, that's what they're relying on." And then what they would do, what most smart organizations would do in this instance, is be like, "Oh, so if we're down to our backup quarterback, I guess we're just dead anyway. We're just straight up dead, and your season's over, and it is what it is, because that's how the NFL works."
You just won't open your mind to the fact that maybe people in the NFL think he can play a little bit?
No. I can't. He's a backup quarterback at bat. I can't. We did 4 months of draft previews nonstop. We talked to everybody and anybody. And you know how often Dylan Gabriel came up? The only times he came up was it like, yeah, sixth or seventh round for a team that's not named the Browns, I promise you that. And then all of a sudden he goes in the third round and people are just befuddled. You're confused. Like, what is it that Stefanski sees in this kid that nobody else sees? And so, in an interesting way,
first team All-American, Big Ten most valuable player, Big Ten offensive player of the year, Big Ten quarterback of the year.
He's got some decorated
Big
college
12
stats.
Offensive newcomer of the year.
Oh, we're going to newcomer of the year.
Most career touchdown passes tied with Case Keenum.
Yeah. He's also an Oompa Loompa. Like, he's got some issues.
Just reading the resume.
There's a lot of really good college quarterbacks that doesn't translate to the NFL. Nobody thinks what he does will translate to the NFL. He's got a rocket of an arm. You want to talk about things that you should be celebrating? You should talk about how he can throw the ball 70 miles per hour. He can sling it. But
second all time, I just don't know that he can see over the offensive line.
So I have a thing against short quarterbacks.
I get it.
Always had a thing against short quarterbacks. I maintain it.
The only history is on your side.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it works. And so I think the thing that people get confused about me in these conversations is that, yes, right now I think Dylan Gabriel is not going to be very good. If Dylan Gabriel turns out to be the answer in the long-term quarterback, all I've ever wanted, I told you this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
All I've wanted is the Browns to have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, where I failed you today, okay, and this one's on me.
Okay.
This is my bet. I'm going to play a clip that's going to fail you as well, but this is where I failed you, okay?
Uh-huh.
I was hoping that on like Monday, I don't know, maybe Nick would give you a call and be like, so, you know, hey, you were in a couple days last week. How'd it go with JP? And Nick, if I know Nick, would probably be like, did he just bash you over the head like you're a cartoon with the idea that Shador Sanders is the next great thing? And I was hoping, just hoping, that answer would be like, no, what are you talking about? Boom! And yeah, the shaboom happened, but like I didn't even know that he was a short guy after the 5 days that we talked. I just thought he had a level head on himself, and that's all it was. And so now on Monday, when Nick gives you a call and says, hey, I know JP held down the fort. I know you guys had some good convos. I see the numbers online, by the way.
Yeah.
You got some killer YouTube videos out there. Numbers through the roof. How was JP with the Shador stuff? Did he go overboard like he tends to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to tell him.
Yes, very much so.
And that's not great for me. I'm not beating the charges here. I wanted to host with one person where they left thinking like maybe he's not a Shador honk 24/7, 365. But if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck and not an Oregon duck, then I guess it's a duck.
Second all time in career passing for Oregon.
Yeah, congrats. You're getting Joey Harrington. Enjoy it.
I do have a question for you.
Yes, I hope I have an answer.
Why do you think the Browns drafted him in round three?
I think, okay, so the theory that, and it's not my alone theory on this, so I just take it for
you
whatever it's worth.
You have a theory on this.
I do have a theory on this.
You're just not going to accept the fact that they think he would work in Kevin Stefanski's system?
I think they took Dylan Gabriel because, first off, they did like Dylan Gabriel. But okay. I think they took Dylan Gabriel because they thought to themselves, if we take Dylan Gabriel, nobody is going to come into this room and say, you have to take another quarterback because we're not taking two quarterbacks. So I think that's what happened. I think they thought to themselves, we're out of the woods when it comes to the Shador conversation.
Here's your quarterback.
Yeah, and so if we take Dylan Gabriel, then that's it. We're closing shop on the quarterback discussion. We have our three quarterbacks, and we'll go into the season that way. And then I think the fifth round came around, and they looked at the value, and these guys love value. They're a bunch of smart, analytical people. And whether it was Dee Podesta, whether it was Haslam, I don't know. We'll find out one day, I'm sure. Somebody came in that room and said, okay. You can't let Shador go any further than this. There's a lot of value there. And that's where they ended up taking the second quarterback. I think Stefanski and company are shocked that they ended up with two quarterbacks out of this thing. I think when they took Dylan Gabriel, that was their one shot at it. And they were going to look at it this way, pure and simple.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to be anything more than a backup quarterback, and that's okay. But what's going to happen is this upcoming season, Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, we develop Gabriel to be the backup quarterback to the quarterback they take in 2026. But now Shador's opened waters here. And Shador's changed the game.
Wow. I think you have a warped reality, my friend.
Hey, as for this a theory.
This is a top 100 pick. Do you understand that?
Do you, under- this is a do team, you understand?
This is a team that went 3-14 that has so many other holes that could have been filled. And they chose this guy.
Yes.
They chose. I'm not saying
he's not
that
a starting
were,
quarterback.
I'm not saying that they were right in choosing him. I'm not saying that they didn't reach for him. I'm not saying that he was worthy of a top 100 pick. I'm just saying they did. Top 100 picks. You don't just take those guys and say, yeah, well, you know, if he's just a career backup, that's cool. Nope.
Why do they trade Mason Graham and then acquire another pick for next year? They did that in the jockeying of position to try to get as many picks as they can. So yeah. If the 2026 class afforded them a quarterback, that's the route. They would have the opportunity to go out and get it. No part of drafting Dylan Gabriel was for Dylan Gabriel to be the franchise quarterback.
It was to maybe possibly be the franchise quarterback.
There's no
maybe
world.
Possibly.
There's no world where they thought Dylan Gabriel was going to be, it was going to showcase enough in one season to then be the franchise quarterback. Literally nobody thinks that he is going to be that in the NFL. Nobody does, and I don't think they do.
You continue to throw darts over and over and over again. There's no doubt about that. That's what you do at the quarterback spot. But this is a top 100 pick. They like him. They have to like him. In order to use a top 100 pick on him, they like him. they have to like him.
I know they like him. They talk about how much they like him. I also think they like Shador, too, at this point. But yes, they've talked a lot about how much they like Dylan Gabriel. But liking somebody is only going to go so far. You can like him all you want. You can spend a top 100 pick on him. There's no part of taking him that they thought, this is our answer. We've settled the quarterback discussion.
If you're in the Browns' position and they go 3-14 and they have so many
other
needs.
I know a Cavs playoff game was on when the draft was going on.
You
but
don't
like,
just throw away top 100 picks.
Did you not see the reaction to the Dylan Gabriel selection? Yes, everyone was as confused as you are right now as you're trying to unravel it all. Yes, you don't just throw away top 100 picks. And yes, you don't just take quarterbacks
and
in the top 100
say,
to take quarterbacks in the top 100.
This guy's never going to make it, ever.
They're not saying that. I'm saying that.
Okay.
That's my opinion of Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
If I ran the NFL, if I ran the Browns, Dylan Gabriel, undraftable. He's not on my board. He's off the board. You must be this tall to ride the ride. He's not draftable. There's no conceivable world where I would have spent not only a top 100 pick, I would have spent a top 250 pick on that man. That's all I can tell you. It's my opinion on it.
I'm telling you, the Browns look at him and say, maybe, possibly. Maybe, possibly, he shows us something. Maybe, possibly, he changes our mind on whether we have to go all in on a quarterback in 2026.
When they took him, I think they were more invested in the idea that Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco is the maybe, possibly, more so even Kenny Pickett, if you want to go down that road.
If that's how they
felt. Dylan Gabriel was not, in no world is Dylan Gabriel in the third round supposed to be an answer.
If that's how they felt, if they felt like you, they would have drafted a wide receiver there instead.
Oh, they took Harold Fant on a tight end in the third round as well.
That specific pick.
Listen, I would have taken a wide receiver. I would have taken all sorts of things before I took Dylan Gabriel in the third round. No arguments from me on this. I can't wrap my head around why they took him in the third round. I've been trying for months to figure out why they took him in the third round. But one thing I do know for sure, it's not because they thought he was going to be their one-year savior and was going to be awesome and then all of a sudden morph into some franchise quarterback. No chance that they think that. I want what they're smoking if they thought that Dylan Gabriel was going to be that. I told you my theory on it, though.
Okay.
I'm convinced they thought we get ahead of this thing, and then nobody else can come in here and tell us to take Shador as the slide was happening and everything else associated with it. By the way, as we continue
here,
down.
Stop talking about it.
What's that?
Here, we're taking Dylan Gabriel. Stop talking about it.
Hey, listen, you didn't ask for a straight line. Up and up theory. You asked for my theory on it. And my theory is always going to be a little out there sometimes. But yeah, that's how I think it went down.
Wow.
I genuinely do think it went down. You think so? Okay. It's not bending so much of reality to go down this road.
Uh-huh.
Because if you believe that Stefanski begrudgingly took Shador to begin with anyway, well, where did the call come from? What happened? Some point, either Deep Podesta or Haslam came in there and was like, you got to do this. You got to take this guy.
Or they just said the value of Shador in round five is, or the value of a quarterback who could maybe possibly one day be the answer is better than getting a third string linebacker.
Okay.
Or
they spent a top 100 pick on a third round quarterback.
A guy that they believe in. Clearly.
Clearly. That's why they were so desperate to take Shador two rounds later.
No,
Clearly.
They weren't desperate to take him.
Well, they did take him.
He was like a consolation prize. Yes, of course they took him.
He's like a consolation prize.
Yes. Of course they took him. Because the value of a quarterback, if it hits, you throw as many darts at the board, but the value of a quarterback, if it hits in round five versus the value of a third string cornerback or a third string safety or...
No arguments for me there. I told you initially.
It's not about Shador. It's not.
What do you mean it's
I
not about
I hate to
Shador?
Break it to you. It wasn't
Shador
about
is
Shador.
The value. Shador is the value.
No.
Because Dylan Gabriel in the fifth round is not worth the same as Shador in the fifth round, the same way that come up with anyone that came in the sixth or seventh round is not worth the same
from,
as the fifth.
From one
it
aspect.
It is about Shador.
From one aspect. The from
most
the
important
ownership
aspect.
Aspect.
The most important
which
aspect.
Which is selling tickets?
No.
Selling jerseys?
No. It's not necessarily about selling tickets or selling jerseys. Shador does, but the talent alone should have been the most important aspect. That's why it's a second round talent, if you want to call him that, in the fifth round. The talent alone is what would have tipped the scales. Not the idea, not the idea that it was a sixth or a seventh round quarterback in the fifth round, because that's not the case at all.
Wow.
It's
so you just, you don't look at him in any sort of way as a fifth round pick or as a
Shador?
Typical, yes, as a typical fifth round
why
pick.
Why would I look at him that way?
Because he was one.
No, the beautiful thing about it, if he sucks, if he just sucks, then yes, you can go back to looking at him like a fifth round pick.
Okay.
Just throw him away like he's days old Chinese food and just get rid of him, okay? If he sucks.
Yep.
But the talent is not of a fifth round pick. And so treating him like he is a fifth round pick, when the reasons why he fell were outside of talent and outside of football reasons, is just being wildly disingenuous to the conversation.
Hmm. It is possible. It is possible that people in the NFL, including the Browns, evaluated him as a football player and said, nah, not worth a first round pick. Nah, not worth a second round pick. Nah, not worth a third round pick because of the problems that he has handling pressure, because he doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, because he can't stretch a defense vertically.
Did you go all the way to the fifth round in that? You went to the third round?
Well.
So even there, you're acknowledging he's not a fifth round pick.
We can say fourth round. We can say fifth.
But again, that begets the whole point. If you're going to say he's a third or fourth, and that's even wild to think anyway, but you say third or fourth. Yes, it is. To say third or fourth, though, you're acknowledging right in that moment that he's not an actual fifth round pick. From a talent perception,
it's entirely possible.
He is not. From a talent perspective, he stops becoming that fifth round pick when you drop for other reasons. The same thing when Laremy Tunsil drops because of gas mask, it no longer becomes about football.
That was a well documented thing. That wasn't theories that people that like Shador have thrown out there. That's very different, right? The Laremy Tunsil thing
it might be apples and oranges, but the idea that when you drop for a reason that's outside of football, when you then drop, it's like you can't. I'm not treating you the same as anything but what you initially were graded, talked about, etc. Like no one had him as a fifth round grade. Zero people had him as a fifth round grade. Not one person.
Cleveland Browns did.
Well, again,
and maybe other teams around
other
the NFL
things
did.
Things outside of football were the causal reason attached to that, though.
Not the entire reason, though.
I'm going to play Colin Cowherd audio coming up for you guys in a second here. Seems to think that this race is over, and I need more Shador support. I need some I'm going to call it just support. Can I get it out, please? Mac, don't give me that look. It's a bully-free week for Mac. Don't give me that look. We'll do In Case We Missed It next right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.